Praise the Lord. I love our music around here, amen. Just good, godly, and help a fella preach, amen. All right, take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs 24 tonight. Why don't you stand with me, Proverbs 24. We were in chapter 24 last time, and we're going to be there again tonight. I believe this is the 38th or 39th message from the book of Proverbs. And then I asked Brother Lance to check on that Sunday night, and he said it wasn't 2007 that I started Kings and Prophets. It was 2005. So it took us 10 years. So a couple of years from now, I got to start all over in the Kings and the Prophets. So I got to hurry up and preach a bunch of stuff. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24. I want to do a little bit of reminding tonight about the book of Proverbs. And then I want to preach on this subject tonight. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. There's a lot about laziness that is spoken about in the book of Proverbs, and especially in the text tonight, that's exactly what we're talking about. So we're going to begin reading in verse number 30. Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumbering, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Finally, we can preach an expository message out of the book of Proverbs. I feel good about that tonight. Don't be lazy. Father, we pray that you would take the message tonight, that we would be reminded about the book of Proverbs, about this theme that we've called it, truth for everyday living. And Lord, how true this is, these Proverbs that we have read and these very practical truths that we can live out and do live out in everyday life. And Lord, it really comes down to two things, either following your wisdom or going in the way of folly. And Lord, I pray that we would follow your wisdom. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Now, remember, we have said from the very beginning in the book of Proverbs that it is a very practical book and that it is truths, this is what I've called it, truth for everyday living. Meaning that it is, the book of Proverbs, is a practical guide to live by on a daily basis. That's why I believe that the book of Proverbs should be read every day. I believe Psalms is a worshipful book, a book of worship. And I believe that Proverbs is a book that would guide our life. So I believe we need to worship God every day, and we can do that in the Psalms. But I also know that we need practical, artful skill of wise living every day. And you can get something out of the book of Proverbs like that every day. The word proverb literally means to compare, a comparison. And we've already said it, I even said it in the prayer, it's really comparing the wisdom of God versus the folly of man. It comes from a word that talks about exercising dominion. And that's why that the Proverbs are not just catchy phrases. I know sometimes we have a southern vernacular, or we have these little truths like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Those are very practical truths that we use every day. But these are more rules to live by. And they're given to us so that the Lord would have dominion over our life. So he's always comparing. And here in our text tonight, he's comparing the person who works, labors, and the person who is lazy. Now, I would also call the book of Proverbs concentrated truth. Have you ever seen concentrated orange juice? Right? Well, when you have concentrated proverbs or concentrated truths, just add life and it will expand greatly. Just like the orange juice, you add water and it expands into... Oh, I don't like that stuff anyway, I'm just saying. But too much sugar in that, amen? Somebody say amen about that. Proverbs is not a book of promises. I'm telling you, because there's a lot of people, oh, God promised this. No, it's a book of principle. All right, now Proverbs is not a book of laws. It's a book of lessons. And we need to get these practical truths in our life. Now, here's the deal about something when you teach a lesson or you have a rule. And they used to do this and it would mess me up in school because I would like to go back and redo English. I really would. Because in English, remember, they always had rules. I before E except after C. That's a rule, right? And they would have all of these verb rules and noun. How can anybody remember all that stuff? Because here's what they would say. This is the rule, but here's the exception to the rule. I like it better just give me rules, all right? Don't give me no exceptions. But I'm telling you, the book of Proverbs, you will find exceptions to the rule. These also, and I know I'm just kind of, I just felt like we needed to go back and re-plug in tonight. I don't know why. But there's statements of biblical instructions that we are to pattern our life around. And they are meant to be obeyed. They're not to be, listen, the Bible is not to be argued, analyzed. It's to actually to be obeyed and then to practice that obedience. It's a school of learning. And it's the school of wisdom or it's the school of folly. How many have ever heard the saying, I have learned the hard way? That's true. And I believe me, I've learned a lot of things the hard way. But I'd rather somebody give me the instruction of truth in the beginning so you don't have to learn the hard way. Listen to me, you don't have to learn the hard way. God will give you the easy way. But I will tell you this, there's recruiters from both schools. There's those that want to recruit you into the school of folly, but God wants to instruct you into the school of wisdom. Practical truths. Do the right thing. And you know God is so good and Solomon was so wise that these are often illustrated in a practical manner, just like what we read tonight. Now I want you to think about this, Solomon. Maybe he had come by this way, I don't know, in his chariot, in one of his horses, maybe. And if you ever go to Israel, you can go to the northern part away from Jerusalem. And there's a place where they tell you that Solomon's horses were kept there. And there's a lot of excavation that's taken place. So I can just imagine in a bus ride, it was probably 45 minutes to an hour to get out there. So can you imagine Solomon making this trek in his chariot with his servants? And earlier in his life or earlier in his kingship, he had saw a stone wall with a vineyard and everything had been taken care of. And then all of a sudden he comes by one day and he notices, and lo, he went by the field of a slothful. And he realized it was a vineyard of somebody, of a man who was void of understanding. In other words, you can see things on the outside and go, that's a mess. That does not look right. And then you can go somewhere else and go, now that looks nice. That's a nice yard. That's a nice, that looks good. That is pleasant to the eye. That's why I'm just telling you right now, I don't understand all these guys today and girls today that they try to look messy. I mean, it's like, hello, comb your hair, iron your shirt, don't look like a bum. And everybody's just dressing down and looking bummy-like. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you know what I'm saying? Why don't you, it's okay to look nice. Whatever happened to a little boy haircut on a little boy? Somebody say amen to that. I'm just saying, there's just something about the looking nice. And people don't do that anymore. I'm telling you, if you can't comb your hair, it might look like you're lazy, but you spent more time trying to make it look messy than it probably took it to make it look nice. Anyhow, I know I'm not going very far in this tonight, aren't I? But I will tell you this, Solomon goes by and he sees the outside of a vineyard and a wall that's broken down and nettles and weeds are growing up and it's not been cared for. And Solomon said, this is the field of a man who is slothful, and this is the field of a man who is void of understanding. So we're going to look tonight at the end of this chapter where Solomon sees a lazy man. And under the inspiration of God, I believe that we can get some very sound instruction for his son Rehoboam like he's been giving him. And basically, he's going to tell his son by telling him this story, and we're looking at it tonight, is this: don't be lazy. My dad never had much for lazy people. And he never allowed us to be lazy. And I'm telling you right now, I know I've used my dad in practical illustrations in the book of Proverbs, but I want to say publicly, I'm very grateful that my dad did not let his two sons be lazy. Because what happens today is kids grow up, think they're entitled to everything, the parents give them everything, and then when they get grown, the parents can't understand why the kid can't hold down a job. Because you taught him to be lazy. I said, you taught him to be lazy. Kids can clean up their room. They can learn to mow the grass. They can learn to iron clothes. They can learn to do dishes. Somebody say amen. Help me out tonight. Let me look, first of all, I'm going to ask this question. Who is the slothful man? Who is the slothful man? Well, if you look at the word slothful, it means one who is slack. What, even in the definition of the word slothful is the word lazy, lax. And even this is an amazing thing too. If you look at the word slothful, you will see within the definition of that word things like slack, lazy, deceitful. Why deceitful? I begin to think about that, dig a little bit deeper into it. The reason that it's deceitful is because you try to deceive other people about what you really are and what you're really not. It has the thought of one who is habitually idle, somebody who is inactive, who does not want to exert the mind or the body. I said, someone who is not willing to exert the mind or the body, or we could say both. Amen. Folks, listen, you need to exercise your brain. Amen. You need to read your Bible. You need to read something. Read something. Exercise your mind. Don't let your mind be idle. Read, read, read. Don't let your body be idle. Do something. Don't be lazy. That's what he said. How do you think nettles and covered the face of the wall and the wall was torn down? Somebody quit going out there and taking care of it. Isn't it amazing how fast weeds grow? Totally amazing. I hate it. Yeah. You can't be inactive when it comes to your yard or something. It'll just grow over. And we need to understand, Solomon thought about the character of the person when he said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man, listen to this, void of understanding. He actually gave us the characteristic of a person who is lazy. It is somebody that's void of understanding. The slothful character was reflected by the condition of the property. And we read things like nettles had covered the face. It was all grown over with thorns. The stone wall thereof was broken down. And the slothful character reflected the condition of his property. The condition of the property tells us about the character of the owner. Now, I'm not going to ask you, but you can go to your house. And if you were to go outside of your house and look at it, or the inside of your house, what would be the character of the owner when it came to the appearance inside and out? Somebody, no, don't do that. Because Solomon says, hey, listen, and no doubt, I believe that he had probably come by this on a previous event. And he said, well, once it had been cared for, because by the way, it had been cared for. You don't go out and build a wall unless something has been properly cared for. You don't do that. You don't just go. Walls just don't show up. You have to actually build them. But we know that if it was properly cultivated, because it was a vineyard, then it would have been worth some money. It would have been worth something since it consisted of a field and it consisted of a vineyard, the value of the property had gone down basically because there had been no care given to the property. Now, as a pastor, I believe this. The outside of the property sometimes reflects what's going on the inside of the building. If I drive down the road and I go, I'm always looking at church buildings. It's just a thing. And if I see a church building that don't look good on the outside, I'm thinking, man, it's probably not good on the inside. If they cannot, can we not care for the things of God? That's why we mow our grass. That's why we make sure the bushes look good. That's why it bothers me when the parking lot doesn't look good. And some people, I can't believe the pastor ropes off the parking lot. Well, my thought on that is when you spend $7,000 or $8,000 to have it blackened, and then trucks run in here and do wheelies around it, it just drives me crazy because people are tearing up what we're trying to make look nice. If I can get it in the budget and I can get it, we're going to put a fence all across this place and nobody's going to be able to get in unless they have a key. Because they just come in. People don't care. And they just come in and they tear up the sidewalk. You spend $8,000 on something. You want it to look nice. I want the grass mowed. I want it to look nice. Why? Because it's the house of God. Amen. And it makes us look lazy if we don't properly care for the things of the house of God. That's why it's important for us to do projects around here. That's why it's important for us to keep the upkeep of the church. But it's also important to do the spiritual aspects of our life. It's fine. Listen, we need to be not lazy in our physical being, but we also need not to be lazy in our spiritual being. What good does it do for somebody to do a bunch of exercises and do all this and eat right and allow his spiritual being to go the way of the world? What good would that be? Somebody say amen. Amen. And the whole book of Proverbs brands laziness. Listen to this. The book of Proverbs brands laziness as one of the greatest source of poverty. Now you think about that. You think about welfare. Welfare does not help people. Welfare makes people lazy. I'm for a work program. Now I'm for helping people. Praise God, we live in America. We should help people that need it. But at the same time, if you're well able bodied, able to work, I don't want somebody to give me something. I'd much rather work for it. I'd rather go by the... That's why... If you make your children work, they'll appreciate it more what they have. Let me read some verses, okay? Let me let the Word of God speak on this matter about laziness as a source of poverty. All right, Proverbs 12:24. Now, you can write these down. I'm going to go through them real quick, but I got about five or six of them. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Did you get that, Michael? Okay, it sounded like it. The hand of the diligent, those that are working, will find themselves in a place of leadership, but the slothful will find themselves under tribute. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Well, you can't argue with the Bible. Proverbs 20 verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just so you'll know, there's some New Testament principles of what the Old Testament says. How about Romans chapter 12, verse 11? Paul said this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, Serving the Lord. Man, that puts it all together. You need to have your, you need to be fervent in your spirit. You don't need to be slothful in your business, and you need to serve the Lord. Amen. Wow. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth. What? And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Remember old Fred Sanford? Anybody remember Fred Sanford? I can't believe I'm doing a Fred Sanford. But every time they would say, Fred, you need to work, he'd go, oh, I got arthritis. My hands are all messed up. So I would do that when I was a kid, and that got me a couple of whoopings. But my mom would tell me to do something, and I'd pull out Fred Sanford. I'd say, oh, Mom, my hands are all messed up. She said, that ain't all. It's going to be messed up here in a minute. So, you know what that's called? Excuses. Just excuses. No doubt the simplicity of life as set forth in the book seems far behind the many schemes of today. There's a lot of scheming going on. But an honest day's work is the law of life. The Bible says, in the sweat of the brow shall thou eat bread. And the Bible condemns all modes of trying to get something without nothing. The something for nothing philosophy is not a biblical one. In fact, the Bible says if you won't work, then you shouldn't eat. You know what? I'd say this. Starvation would be a great cure for slothfulness. A man's desire to work rises as his belly button nears his backbone. I'm serious. And listen to this. And Solomon knew this. Paul knew this. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Boy, that sounds like child labor cruelty today, doesn't it? Proverbs 16:26. He that laboreth, labor for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. You know what? Listen, here's what I'm trying to get across here. And this principle is here. A do-nothing attitude will always destroy the character of a person. No character. Welfare creates sluggards. It doesn't cure them. It rewards people for rejecting to work. And I say this again. Parents that spoil their children by giving them their every whim and every fancy ruin the character of their children. Right up front, they ruin the character of their children. Because they grow up and they find it difficult to keep a job because they'll quit as soon as things get rough. As soon as things get hard. Because here's what they think. Oh, that's too hard. My kids, oh, this is too hard. This is too hard. And I want to say, well, my dad, he used to walk to school in the snow barefooted uphill both ways. But I never had to do that. But I was pretty convinced my dad did. And you know what they do then? Listen to this. This is the society we live in. They think it's too hard. They get fired because they won't work. And then they gripe and they yell discrimination or favoritism. Amen. How about just work? Yeah. Note that in the text, the slothful is paralleled with the man who is void of understanding. In other words, what Solomon says, somebody that is slothful lacks understanding and knowledge. And when they let themselves develop according to their inclinations or according to their whims or according to what they want to do, then it's going to, nettles are going to grow up. You're going to have weeds everywhere. Nobody fixes the stone. It also teaches that understanding is meant to be a guide to our actions and a restrainer. If a ship is not to wreck on the rocks of sea, you got to make sure somebody has an understanding of how to drive that boat and how to keep it on the pathway. and how to keep it going this way or that way. So that's what slothfulness is. Now the question becomes, what becomes of sloth? You know, the word sloth almost sounds like the word slug. You ever seen the little slug? I mean, he's lazy. He just don't move very fast. The description of the sluggard's garden brings two things into view. Number one, weeds. Number two, broken down stone. Weeds and broken down fences, broken down stones, broken down this. By the way, that can be applied to the spiritual life. You don't need walls to be broken down. You need the walls to be built up in your life. Amen. Walls are for protection. Amen. Everybody today is trying to tear down walls. They need to build walls. Amen. They give us protection. And the results are evident that no control has been exercised. You know, I want you to notice, here's what Solomon said. I believe it's verse 30. Yeah, verse 32. He said this, "Then I saw and considered it well." So Solomon takes note of this wall and he begins to look at it. And he begins to say, this ain't good. This is not right. This wall used to be, this wall used to be intact. This vineyard used to be manicured and it looked good. And maybe we could say, you never ever heard use it or lose it? I believe that applies here. Maybe you reap what you sow. If you sow laziness, you're going to reap weeds and broken down walls. And here's what Solomon said. He said, "I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it." In other words, here's what he said. I could see with my own two eyes. And people can see that. People can see that. You can drive down a road and you can go, "Oh, man, we had this one yard in our neighborhood. You know, in our yard. And I just wanted to stop there and say, can I help you?" I'm serious. But then I found out that that was like that on purpose. Then I was really disturbed. I don't know what happened, but I do know that somebody finally, that person left and somebody came in and they cleaned it up. And I was like, praise the Lord. That just looks sloppy, lazy. Get a weed eater, a mower, a jackhammer, something. Did you know that slothfulness will always make excuses on why they're slothful? "I'm tired. My back hurts." Then pay somebody to do it. All right? Look at verse 33. The truth is found in verse 33. Solomon said, "I looked on it, I considered it, and here's what I discovered. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." You see, our text has what seems as a conclusion in Solomon's mind of the excuse and the end of the excuse. Now here I'm going to use an illustration personally. Several times a week I meet with a personal trainer. And I work out from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. 1 hour completely. Sometimes I go longer. And it's brutal. I'm just telling you. And one morning about 3 weeks ago, and I've been doing this for over a year, about a year, and I think I'm up to close to 60 workouts. And about 3 weeks ago, my alarm went off. And I always get up like an hour to hour and 20 minutes earlier than what I'm going to go do this workout, because I want to read. I want to spend time with the Lord. If I'm going to stand up here and preach it to you, then I have to do it also. And by the way, what good would it do for me to go work out my body if I didn't work out my mind and my spiritual being? So my alarm goes off, and I was laying there, and I was feeling really tired. I was feeling really lazy. And I was talking to myself, and I was saying things like this: "Man, you deserve a break. You've had a hard week." And I got up and I came back and I laid down, and it was like this voice from heaven said, "What are you doing? And even though I thought it was the voice of God, it was actually my wife. It could have been from God. God used her to convict me when she said, "What are you doing?" And she said it about like that. And I said, "Well, I'm tired. I thought I'd go back to bed." She goes, "And you're not going to go work out?" That's not the Jeff Ables I know. Man, I got straight up out of bed. You know what? She was right. "What are you doing?" she said. "Like, I can't believe you. What is your problem?" That's what Solomon states. Maybe the thought of the sluggard was, you had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Come on, man, I deserve a break today. No. I heard a guy say to me not long ago, he said, after I got out of the military, I continued to do the same thing that I did for 2 years, and then one day I said, "Man, why am I doing this?" And then he said, "I wished I'd have kept doing it." Yeah, that's right. Amen. You see, these are references to an earlier chapter where Mr. Laziness is sent to consider the ways of the ant. And then what did he say about the ant? The ant doesn't say, "Man, I'm getting tired." No, them little boogers, they just keep going, they keep going, keep going. You squash them out, there'll be a million of them there the next day. They don't stop. They don't say, "I need a break." They don't say that. They keep going. We're told in chapter 6 to consider the ways of the ant. And then it says this, and be wise. I'm just telling you, is it not true we admit too late the need to avoid laziness? Do we not often only ask for a little sleep, a little slumber? "Come on, woman, let me go. Let me lay down." No. No, what are you doing? Excuses are lies wrapped in a reason. You know what I did? I got up, did my reading, and I went to exercise. And just to prove that I did, I copied everything that I did and I sent it to her. But you know what? I was glad I did. She was right. Amen. Because I was committed to go to that day, the 2 days. You know, it's not like you go 7 days a week. I mean, I do other things, but I'm telling you, those 2 days, I'm committed to do that. How does sloth end? The sleeper's slumber is dramatically represented as being awakened by armed robbers who bring a grim awakening. Did you see this? Look at verse 34. "So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man." Here, what's the point, preacher? Well, for the slothful, it don't end good. So when can I start being slothful? I can't find anywhere where we do. Amen. Can be slothful. Yep. Poverty and want break in on the folding of the hands. That is true as regard to the outward life, where the indulgences in slothfulness brings want, and the conclusion of the matter results in needs and desires and poverty. Stay by the course. Keep on keeping on. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No amount of clever scheming will make a lazy person into a prosperous person. Things are accomplished by hard work, diligence. Keep on keeping on. Get up. What are you doing? Get up. According to Proverbs, the only way to prosperity is hard work. And the person who tries to avoid honest labor, preferring the couch potato position, relaxing in the bed, listen to this, he dooms himself to poverty. That's why I'm thinking we got a whole generation of lazy people sitting in front of the TV doing this. Hey, you need to get up and make your kids get up and walk around the block. Well, they don't want to. They're lazy. Well, no. Go for a walk. That ain't exercising your mind. correctly. Have your children read a book. Small deeds done are better than great deeds planned. Well, I've been planning on it. I've been thinking about it. You know what? Do it. Small things. Nobody ran a marathon. Nobody wakes up and goes, you know, I think today I'll run a marathon. Yep, today's the day. You ever walked around the block? You can't run a marathon unless you run around the block a couple of times. And then you run a little more, then you run a little more, and then you run a little more. And then you run a little more, and then after a while you realize, hey, I can do this. Small deeds done are better than great deeds planned. There's no profit in a half-baked cake. Well, honey, what's wrong with this cake? Well, I just cooked it halfway. I don't want no half-baked cake. We have a friend, this really happened. She said, well, I found out you're supposed to put the cake on 375, and it was supposed to be for an hour. She said, but I didn't have enough time, so I put it on 600 for 30 minutes. Bless her heart, that's all I got to say. Have you ever driven by and saw a partially painted house? And you said, wonder what happened. That don't look good. Have you ever planted seeds but then didn't harvest? You know what life depends on? Dependability. Life depends on people willing to see their task through to the completion. Practical stuff, is it not? Solomon said, man, I went by, there's weeds everywhere, stone broke down, lack of understanding, lazy. What was he doing? A little folding of the hands, a little sleep. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Before you know it, poverty sets in. Comes the one that travaileth, and they, like an armed man, stealing everything. You know what we need to do? No shortcuts. People are always trying shortcuts. There's no shortcuts with God. We must quit trying to get out of work and get busy doing work. Don't be lazy. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed.